Hello, hello, hi, it's your girl, Mommy Dearest.
Hello, hello, hi, it's your girl, Mommy Dearest.
Hi, hi, I'm Kai, aka RD.
And welcome to Thought Digest, where we
amplify conversations
one thought at a time.
As you guys can see, we're not in our natural habitat, but we made it our way. You know what I'm saying? We swung it the Thought Digest way.
Girl, we knew that we couldn't leave them hanging.
No, we couldn't.
We're like,
what's a Monday without us? We can't leave you guys hanging. After last week, we had to make up for it.
Amen. We mentioned now, also this week, we're dropping late and things like that. So we're like, no,
impossible.
To remain consistent, we even have to be in environments that we normally aren't. I hope you guys love the setup. You love the background.
We try. We did a little science.
Some. Like, we didn't have the pink couch, so we...
We bought pink pillows.
But I hope you guys enjoyed today's episode. Yes. So anyways, what's happening in your life?
I'm recovering from a flu. If that was the flu, I don't know what it was or what it is, but I'm recovering. You can tell by my voice.
Mm-hmm.
Other than that, sheesh. You know, the first thing that came to mind when I wanted to update you today on like life and stuff was just, I just want God. Oh, in this season, I just want my daddy. I just want God. I don't want nothing else. I think I've faced a lot of disappointment from human beings in the past few months, and it's turned me quite cold, and I don't want to be cold. Like, that's not who a minister of the gospel should be. Or even a child of God, I don't think we're called to create walls between us and other people. And so I want to return to base. You know, it's called the old church basement. But yeah, that's all I want in this season, man. I'm even labeling it selfish season, and not just because I'm focusing on myself, but I'm returning to, you know, my foundation, and that's Christ. That's all I really want right now.
That's beautiful. For me, I think I'm in the same season as you in that aspect.
Yeah.
I remember I went to church on Friday. I went to church on Saturday.
Friday is youth now.
Yeah, I went to youth on Friday. I went to Gracious Daughters on Saturday. And then
I was supposed to be at Gracious Daughters.
What happened? I thought I would see
this happened. I had no voice. I woke up nauseous. Like, I was even in Randburg, so I could be closer to the Gracious Daughters event.
Right, like, for me, that was the best decision I think I made for myself.
Yeah.
100%. And even because of that decision, there are so many things about, like, last week and what we said on the podcast that I no longer resonate with anymore.
Yeah.
Because of that decision. Because I remember I had this feeling that I needed to go. You know, I bought the ticket. The event starts 9. I bought the ticket 9 a.m. Like, that's how, like, I did it. I was sitting in, I'm not going. And then something in my spirit was like, go. And I went, and I don't regret that decision at all.
What was
all.
Your biggest takeaway from going there?
I think for me, it was like, going back to my Father, going back to Christ. Like, I was struggling to pray for a very long time, and I was struggling with a lot of things for a long time. And then I think going there, like, I went into prayer. Like, we were praying, like, literally you're in prayer from, like, the moment it starts till the moment it ends. And also, the service was, like, based off deliverance and, like, renouncing a lot of things. So, like, I feel like, man, after, like, renouncing so much and, like getting prayer as well, like, from all the women there, because everyone is praying, everyone is in prayer, it lightened my... It literally... I was calling for God to circumcise my heart. And
I think that's such, like, an integral part of Thought Digest in general, because we see with the comments, guys, we read all your comments, that it has fostered, like, a space of self-reflection. And I think that after last week's episode, that was such an important thing to do.
Yeah. To literally, like self-reflect, for God to, like, work on so many things in me. And actually, for me to see what he needs to work on and what he's working on, and to go on that journey with God. So I feel like I'm 100% in that season. I think that's me. Oh, my grad is tomorrow, by the way, BTW.
Yeah, I wanted to say, like, in the beginning, kudos to you for, like, putting this together, even though you have, like, grad prep to do.
Like, literally, guys, that's how, like, committed we are to the cause of this, like, what we're doing here. That's how much we love what we're doing here.
Yeah, dude, I can't put into words how much I enjoy doing this. Even though when an episode is released, I get anxiety, like, because I'm like, what they gonna say this week? You know what I'm saying? What's wrong with us this week? I get so much stress. And then I actually spoke to an acquaintance of mine, and she said, you feel that much anxiety because you care that much about the podcast. Guys, I love doing this. Oh. I love engaging with you guys. I love hearing your stories and seeing you guys reflect also and confess. I've seen a few confessions as well. So, I love doing this.
And I feel like this podcast was the best decision we ever made for ourselves, for our careers, for so much. Because there's so much growth that happens on this couch.
Dude, the person I was in the first week of this podcast versus who I am right now, massive difference. And I hope that's the same for our audience as well.
I hope they also, because someone is like, yo Umpo, like every week you call me out, and I'm like, yeah, I'm calling myself out.
We're calling ourselves
every
week.
I'm like,
damn
girl. So yeah, I think that's what's happening with my life. Grad tomorrow, my relationship with God, and that's it.
That was actually quite brief. We went straight to it. We normally go off on tangents and stuff. But I think that's both our life updates, man. I'm just, I care about my spiritual state now more than anything.
The importance of that. I feel like for someone, if you were struggling to pray or you were struggling to talk to God or like open your heart up to God, I feel like after watching this, give God a chance. Sometimes you don't have to even talk to him.
You said it so perfectly.
Just like, listen, like I remember like going into tongues, I was praying in tongues, and I didn't realize that I was praying. It wasn't like, you know, like praying in tongues is different like than having like a normal prayer, because a normal prayer, it's you asking for something, and then in tongues it was like the Holy Spirit is asking for something for me. So I didn't realize like what I was struggling with until I went into that prayer. And it was like, oh, that was me listening to Christ in that moment.
I think we should also recognize the lack of desire to pray is pushed back in the realm of the spirit. There's something that's making you not want to pray. Like our natural instinct as children of God is to speak to our Father. So when you find it difficult to speak to your Father, it shows that there's a pushback there, and just do it, please.
The moment you feel like the moment like the devil tries to close your mouth, that's when you need to open it. Because sometimes you don't even have to go into prayer for yourself. Sometimes you need to pray for somebody, and you have no idea. But the reason why you're not praying is he's closing your mouth. And then now when God is like, I lost a child of God because you didn't go into prayer, what are you going to say? What are you going to say?
And you will be held accountable.
Exactly. So yeah, so today's topic.
Since when does conviction come so early in the episode? It usually comes like at minute 40.
at the last 30 minutes when we're like talking and we're like, ooh.
But now it's coming like in the first 10 minutes. Hold on, just wait.
Okay. I'm sorry. It's just that I've been struggling with conviction this whole week. I was like, everybody gotta be in the same boat.
You get conviction.
Everybody must get convicted. Amen.
All right, let's move into our short topic, which was quite difficult.
Yes, I feel like that's why we're going into like our topics so early on today, is because all three topics of the day are very like intense. So the first topic of the day is sparkles, womanhood.
I love when our editor does those sparkles. It's very thought digesting.
He gets us.
He definitely does.
So like today's topic is womanhood, and what is it to us? And then for you guys in the comments, what is womanhood to you? So Kaya, what's womanhood to you?
Dun, dun, dun. You know, actually I don't know how to say this in English. Got the bank matamba ngqond. I don't know how to say it in English.
She was chewing the bones of her mind.
Yeah, chewing the bones of my mind on this, because I think society has done a great job at misshaping womanhood. And making it synonymous with femininity and giving womanhood to people who don't have women characteristics. You know, I think because the first thing that came to mind was, okay, why is my idea of womanhood not as solid as it should be? And the answer to that immediately was because of the transgender movement, right? Because now people who weren't born women can identify as women. And then I realized that identification of well, their identification of themselves as women is merely a reflection of what they think womanhood is, and that's femininity. Mm. You think femininity is womanhood, and so when you mimic it or you desire to mimic femininity, you then conclude that you're a woman. Mm. Absolutely not. Mm. And so base level for me, womanhood is having a vagina and a uterus. That's baseline for me, because that's the center of birth for a woman. That's the center of hormone production for a woman. That's what that's what creates such a rift between women and their womanhood, is the function of the uterus. You find that a lot of women don't feel like women because
of, yes.
You know what I'm saying? So I feel like that's at the at the base of what womanhood is biologically. Mm. We're going to move into the rest, but I just want to start there.
I feel like for me, I agree with your sentiments in a sense, because for me it was like, ooh, what makes someone a woman?
Yeah.
You know, what is a woman?
Yeah.
You know, and I feel like that's where we need to start. Like, what's a woman? So for me, a woman is someone who is born biologically female. That's what makes a woman for me.
Yeah.
You know, the same way there's men and then there's women and then there's other brackets into it. Like, there's now, like, sexuality is a different topic.
A whole different topic.
What you identify as is a whole different topic.
Yeah.
You know, but, like, womanhood for me is someone who's born biologically woman.
Yeah.
Because, like, it is a role that we need to take up in society, and we don't have a choice in that role that we need to take up.
Yeah.
Because that is a role that was assigned to us at birth. Like, that's what we were born as, you
know?
Absolutely. So I feel like that's what womanhood is at its baseline.
Yeah.
And then I feel like then we can build on that.
Absolutely.
Because, like, there's, I get what you mean, that there's so many feminine characteristics that are associated with being a woman that takes away from what womanhood is.
Mm-hmm.
Because when women don't meet those feminine characteristics, then they're called masculine women, and then they looked down upon, and then they feel less woman.
Yeah.
You know, they feel less of a woman because society has built feminine characteristics and made it the core of what a woman is.
Absolutely.
And then that's why I agree with you in the sense when you say that mimicking or taking on feminine characteristics or behaving in a feminine manner does not necessarily make you a woman.
Mm-hmm. I think again. Wow. Because I'm just thinking of hearing this for the first time, if I were a listener. It is such, you know, it's such murky waters because we think that femininity and womanhood are synonymous.
Yes.
When they're not. They're definitely related.
Yes.
But they're not one is not the other.
Yes.
Right? And so that begs the question, what makes a woman a woman? What is womanhood? And I think for me, womanhood is an experience as well. Again, that's my bone to pick with people who identify as women. You don't know what it's like to be a woman. You just know what it looks like, right? And so womanhood is characterized by the transition from girlhood to an adult female, right? And what that looks like is different for everybody, right? I think everybody's girlhood was characterized by caution and hyper-awareness. And what I mean by this is, one, you are made hyper-aware that you are very different from the boy, that you can't sit this way, you can't speak this way, you can't laugh this way, you can't burp, you can't show up in the world this way, you have to show up in the world that way. And that, I think, that is at the center of girlhood, learning that you are different and how you move should be different from that other gender. And as you transition from girlhood to womanhood, there is sort of a certainty now in your identity as female. And unfortunately, a lot of women's girlhood was negatively impacted by the need to be masculine, right? So especially in South Africa, we've found that, like, we've also had to be, you know, hyper-protective. We've had to protect ourselves. We've had to be, you know, hyper-aware of our surroundings in this country. And those are masculine traits. But that doesn't take away from our womanhood.
Yes.
But that's an experience that women, solely women, go through. The South African woman experience is solely a South African woman experience.
And in Kaya saying that, I just want to add that, you know, when you're sitting on a line of being defensive, you can misconstrue what she's saying.
Yeah.
Because she's not taking away from your personal experience as someone who's transitioning into becoming a woman. you know, you transitioning into becoming what you deem a woman. She's not taking away from your experience in that and your challenges in that, because that's a whole different, like,
yeah.
We don't understand those experiences. We don't understand those challenges.
Yeah.
And therefore, we cannot expect you to understand our experiences and understand our challenges. Absolutely. My problem with people who are, most people with platforms who are transitioning, not everybody, they try to take away from a woman's experience.
Absolutely.
In a form of justifying the experience. And yeah. You don't have to take away from someone's experience to justify your experience.
Absolutely.
Your experience is as real as can be.
Mm.
It's 100% real, but it's a different experience. And for me, I don't want to like come off as fake or anything. I am a child of God. I'm a Christian. I'm a believer. And this is my belief system. I'm speaking from a point of my belief system.
So am I, yeah, yeah.
And what God taught, what God has told me a woman is, you know? And for you, that may be something totally different, and that's fine. But then this is coming from me and what the word says. And I try to tell the truth, even if the truth may make me uncomfortable and the next person uncomfortable.
Absolutely. I will always stand on womanhood being natural.
Mm.
I think, again, the bone to pick is that you are mimicking something that you think that is.
Yes.
I can, for the life of me, I cannot imagine saying that I am meant to be a man and I want to, you know, mimic masculinity when I don't really know what male experience is.
That's so true, because I feel like you take feminine traits, feminine characteristics, and then you define that as being a woman. That,
exactly.
Like, because for you, being a woman is having breasts and so on and so forth.
Yes.
But there are women who are born without like big chests and like a nice.
It's an exaggeration of what you think womanhood is.
It's beyond the physical.
Yeah.
You know, when you say, "I feel like I was born to be a woman," you don't know what that is.
Yeah.
So how are you feeling that feeling when you don't know what it is? Because maybe you desire to look a certain way.
Absolutely.
But your desire to look a certain way does not mean that that makes you a woman, because not all women look that way.
Yeah,
you
or know? Behave that
or,
way.
Or that or behave.
Or extremely feminine.
Yes, no. Yes.
And the base for this, and I hate that I'm going to have to argue my case for years when it comes to this, because this is just the society that we live in. But my base for this is my particular study of race, right? And personhood. I studied politics and philosophy, by the way. So, very qualified to have this conversation.
She's committing to someone. There's someone out there.
Yeah, there's somebody out there like, what makes you
qualified?
Shut up, bro. Like, I did this, okay? So, when studying race, we had to figure out what makes somebody a black person besides their skin color, right? And what makes somebody part of a community is a shared experience.
Mm.
If you have a look at it philosophically, if you look at Immanuel Kant, if you look at, not Darwin, but specifically Immanuel Kant is the first person who comes to mind, says that the black people have a sense of community because of their shared experience as a particular people. That's why we had... That's why blackface is such an offensive thing, because you think that blackness is in the face.
Yeah.
And so you try to mimic that blackness. In fact, you're making a mockery of it. That's what's offensive about it. And we have people who've tried to identify as black.
Mm.
We've had people who were not born black trying to identify as
and
black.
And why is that not okay? Why is that deemed not okay? Why is blackface deemed not okay? Why is identifying as black deemed not okay societally, but someone can identify as a woman and that's okay?
Right. Can you see what I mean? It's because it's a shared experience. There are things that a woman goes through that you will never understand what it feels like to be trodden upon because you're a female.
Mm.
You weren't born that way.
Mm.
Do you know what I'm saying?
Mm.
I think also societally, if we look at womanhood, what womanhood is, again, I'm a firm believer. These are also my beliefs. Like Mpo said, these are solely our beliefs. You can share yours. But I'm a firm believer in that women have their roles and men have their roles.
100%.
I believe in gender roles. I'm not going to sit here and act like I don't.
Yes.
Right? And so womanhood, for me, is accepting your role as a woman. Right, is accepting your nurturing capacity, your maternal capacity, your softness. Right, embracing your softness as a woman. Some of the women that I think are most powerful are the women who are certain in identity and certain in role. Mm. So she knows that in certain areas she cannot dominate. We are equal, sure, but we have our own strengths.
Yeah,
absolutely.
And I don't know. There's a TikToker, for instance, who did an American TikToker.
Yeah,
he did a whole series. Day 2 of girlhood, day 3 of girlhood.
Yes,
day 4.
I remember.
That guy. What were your thoughts on that content being created and him going through all that? Yeah, what are your thoughts on that whole content concept?
I think it's sad that again. And this is not to invalidate his experience. Mm. Again, that's what he thought girlhood is, and that's perfectly fine. I think social media has created a platform for us to propagate our experiences however we see fit. But it had, for me, a bit of an indoctrinal feel to it, that girlhood looks like this, and that's not how it looks like. It's also like my contention with teaching people gender fluidity as children. That's not a thing. It does not exist.
You see, for me, I'm a firm believer in you are beautifully and wonderfully made.
Yeah.
And God makes no mistakes. That comes from me from being Christian. And I stand firm on that. God makes no mistakes.
Yeah.
You know, of course, there's certain insecurities you are bound to get from living in a society that's filled with so much judgment and everything like that. Oh my God, my boobs aren't big. My bum is big. But you need to come back and say that you are beautifully and wonderfully made.
Mm-hmm.
So do you think people who make womanhood an appearance and a personality?
Sorry to cut you off. I think that oh my God, I admire your intelligence. Because intelligent people say they want to find out if what they're saying is right and how they're saying it is right. A dumb person would just be so sure that this word I'm saying it correct.
It's you're the way.
You're so smart. Oh my
thank you so much.
I feel like I made you lose your train of thought, did I?
Kinda.
I'm so sorry.
Let me get back. Do you think people who think womanhood is a certain appearance and a certain what was the word I used? Playing a role type of thing, and they feel like that's how they were supposed to be. Do you think it comes from a place of self-consciousness and a place of lack of self-love?
I think it comes from a lack of identity. I think that, are you doing that because we're getting there?
It's a thing of literally, at Gracious Daughters, they said that the reason why there's so much going on in society and everything like that is people want to fit in. And people are suffering from a lack of identity. And they have this serious need to be accepted by a certain society.
Mm-hmm.
So when they were not accepted in their roles as men, because they were not men in appearance and men in personality, they needed a place to fit in, you know.
The next best is,
you see, it comes from a place of lack of identity.
Yeah.
And as children of God and as people who are trying to be the light of this world, we need to help people find the identity in Christ.
Absolutely.
Because when you find your identity in Christ, all those things, honestly, once you know who you are in the body of Christ, you will be enough as you are. Be 100% enough as you are.
I love how this is feeding into our long topic. We're going to get there. But I want to draw from that as well. I think a lack of identity will force you to find identity where you don't belong, right? And what that looks like in womanhood is, again, mistakening this for that, mistakening femininity for womanhood, mistakening, you know what I'm saying, a sense of belonging. That's why I said part of your transition from girlhood to womanhood is a certainty in who you are. Is a certainty of your role as a woman. And guys, even this conversation is so redundant to me, because biologically speaking, if we look at the science of being female and the science of being male, it's two completely different sciences.
Yeah.
And sciences that impact our emotions, sciences that impact the way that we think, sciences that impact our behavior. There are behavioral patterns specific to women, and there are behavioral patterns specific to men. And I think I made this example when we were sitting with the Rambedis, where I was like, women biologically get more satisfaction from being nurturing to their children.
Mm.
Men, as fathers, get more satisfaction from being playful and their child seeking counsel from them. That's a biological fact. And so, as much as womanhood is stepping into our roles and stepping into the certainty of our identity and stepping into, I think, also a softness, women are just generally, they kind of soften out the edges of life, of any, of everything that pertains to life. I think when you look at a household with mom and dad, you see that there's a softness in the children, there's a softness in the way that the house operates. Men are quite rigid, if you think about it. But I'm going off on a tangent.
But I get you. I 100% yeah. get you. And I feel like if you're not secure in your identity, you will keep doing things and seeking things that will never find you fulfillment. That's why, like, someone will start off with, like, they'll do their first BBL and say, like, this is also directed to women, by the way. You will do your first BBL thinking that, like, oh my God, it'll give me, like, that dream body that I want and I'll find satisfaction and happiness. The moment you gain a little bit of weight or anything, you go and do that procedure again. And then, it goes from that procedure and it becomes more. It becomes, oh, I need to change my nose. Oh my God, I just need a bit of lip filler. Oh my God, I just need a bit of that, a bit of that, a bit of that. And I do get that this is a consequence of the society that we were built in. But I feel like the biggest thing when you feel like you don't belong in a certain group or a certain margin is search within yourself and try to find your identity in you and the way you are. Don't try to fit into anything because you will never fit in.
Yeah.
You will never fit in because whatever you're trying to fit into, that is a false description of what it is.
Absolutely.
It's very false.
Very, very.
Like,
it's what you see.
It's what you see. And what you see is never what it is.
Hey, I don't know. I think we should, as women again, I think we shouldn't fall into the trap of attributing physicality to our womanhood.
Yes.
Right? As much as I said that the uterus is the baseline of womanhood, I think it's important to recognize that it doesn't take away from your womanhood. I know that there are a lot of women who struggle with problems with their uterus and so on. That doesn't make you any less of a woman. That being said, adding to your physical attributes doesn't make you more of a woman. Having bigger breasts doesn't make you more of a woman. Having a bigger butt doesn't make you more of a woman. And I think this conversation is important because what we're pointing to, what both of us are saying, is that it's important for you to define for yourself.
Yes.
Right? What womanhood in your life looks like, what womanhood in your society looks like, and your desired form of womanhood to you, according to you, before you find yourself having three BBLs. Goodness gracious.
Dun, dun, dun. So, guys, I'd like to say, if you have any things you'd like to say, any comments you'd like to say, what you think womanhood is, comment down below. If you disagree, comment down below. You have every right to disagree with what we said.
Yeah.
This is what Thought Digest is about. Yeah. Conversations.
Yeah.
You know, honest conversations.
I really wish this was a longer topic because I'm now thinking of the specifics of the shared experience that I mentioned earlier. Ooh. And things like catcalling come into play. Molestation come into play. It's just so much. And
so
that's
much.
Part of the shared experience. Like, you're not going to know what it's like to be catcalled as a 9-year-old because
that was never your experience.
It was never your experience.
Being sexualized as a child because it was never your experience.
Do you know what I'm saying? Having to be hyper-cautious about the way that you're sitting or the way that you laugh. It's not part of your experience. It wasn't part of your experience. But anyway, if you want to be feminine woman and you weren't born a woman, go ahead. Who am I? I'm not the dictator of your life.
Exactly. We are not here to charge.
Okay. Again, today we're testing Mommy Dear's general knowledge, especially since you got your degree. And you know every damn thing.
I do. I've been knowing every damn thing. I'm just kidding.
Do you know that sound I'm talking about? It's a TikTok sound.
Really?
Ah.
I'm so sorry. Okay. Test me. Let's see.
Let's see. What disease commonly spread on pirate ships?
Pirate ships?
Mm-hmm. I feel like this is general knowledge, but you is only it, know it if you like a nerd.
Is it influenza? I don't know. It's a pirate ship. A disease.
I can tell you, it starts with an S.
Syphilis.
No. Does syphilis start with an S?
Why was I thinking of syphilis? I give up. What is it?
Scurvy.
I don't know.
You've never heard of scurvy?
Nah, I don't. I've never heard of scurvy.
I feel like such a nerd.
I've never heard of scurvy.
Damn. Okay. What company was... No, you wouldn't know this. I did. I wouldn't know it either.
Try me?
Actually, let me try you because you don't know what scurvy is, so you might know what this is. Even though it's not... Okay, I'm talking too much. What company was originally called Kadabra?
Eh, skip.
You see, I didn't know that either.
What company, guys? Google. Like, comment down below.
Oh, I shouldn't give the answers.
Yeah.
What sports car company... this is going to show how much of a girl you are. What sports car company manufactures the 911?
Hi, boy. There's a car called 911.
Yes. Or the 911.
Can I guess, like, two brands?
Yes. Okay, go as far high up in luxury as you can.
I was going to say Merc, Mercedes.
Nope. Go higher up in luxury.
Porsche?
Yes! I feel like Offset, they gave her a clue.
No, I didn't get no clue. I got like a shake
you
of
go.
My head. I got a shake of my head. I got this.
Okay. What art form is described as decorative handwriting or handwritten lettering?
Cursive.
No, close.
Calligraphy.
Yeah! I'm so proud of you. Hey, Anna. Guys, she's such a nerd. That's such a nerd answer. How did you know that?
Calligraphy.
I'm so proud of you. In what country? This is pretty easy, I think. In what country would you find Mount Kilimanjaro?
Oh, Kilimanjaro. Yo, guys, I actually don't know. I'm going to guess... is it somewhere in North America?
No. That's so far off. It's in Africa.
Kilimanjaro is in Africa.
Ah! Mommy dears, what subject did you do in high school?
I hated commerce, nah? I hated it. I did science and commerce, but yeah. I didn't do geography. I hated it. Kilimanjaro?
That's what I loved. Geography.
In Africa?
Yeah.
Kenya? I don't know.
No, you have one more try. I'll give you one more try.
Okay.
Okay, let me narrow it down. It's in Southern Africa. It's not? Is this country not in Southern Africa? Yo, this country is above Mozambique. It's above Mozambique, this country, no? Yeah, it's in the bottom half.
Guys, King, I'll name all countries. Is it Ghana? I don't know.
No, Ghana's in West Africa, girl.
I don't know, child.
Tanzania.
That's where Kilimanjaro is?
Yeah.
That's crazy. I don't know that.
Okay. Would you know this? You know, you've surprised me, so you probably should know this. What is a group of pandas known as? This is
a school. I don't know.
No, man. It's fish.
I was trying to do like something. I thought maybe like it'll be something. A gathering.
No, it's actually such a dumb name. Not dumb, but like really surprising.
Like, I think pandas are like such babies. Like, what? Like, does it have something to do with their stupidity? Or like, what
no.
is it?
No.
Group of pandas. Hey, guys, I give up. What is it?
An embarrassment.
I knew it had something to do with like their stupidity in a sense.
Yeah, I was like, oh, yeah, stupidity.
Like, an embarrassment. That's crazy.
Dude, who came up with that?
But I get it.
Who... Would you know this? Let's see. Okay, what is the most common surname in the United States?
Smith.
Yeah. I love your facial expression.
See?
Yes.
I know the things
that, easy. I need to give you that are hard to know. Thing. No, I need to give you something harder. Who was the ancient Greek god of the sun?
Greek?
Mm-hmm.
Sun?
Mm-hmm.
Is it Odin?
Mm-hmm. I'll give you three tries on this one.
Greek?
Mm-hmm.
Sun?
Mm-hmm.
I know Osiris.
Okay.
He's the Egyptian god of the sun.
Okay.
Greek. Kimang. Is it female or male? Give me that at least.
Male.
Male.
Mm-hmm.
The sun. Is it one of the four? Like the big gods, like it's not one of the big gods. And it's
busy cheating here offset this one, yeah.
Greek god of the sun. What, okay, what letter does
A?
A.
Uh-huh.
Does it start with an A?
Yes, it starts with an A, yo.
I'm trying to think of a god's name that starts with an A.
It's actually a name that you don't hear often because you hear Zeus a lot. You hear...
Apollo.
Yay! Oh my gosh. You're so great at this.
I had to go on through the list of all the gods I know because I like Greek and Egyptian mythology. So I had to go through the list.
Oh my gosh. I would have never guessed that, you know. I did not know that. You're smart, smart. Since you got your degree.
Amen.
And you know every day. Okay?
I'm well-versed.
You are. Nobody can fight you on that.
Oh my God. I have haters.
Okay, this is the last one. I'll just give you two more, I think.
Okay.
What is a group of crows called? Also, quite an odd name.
Crows?
Mm-hmm.
Group of crows?
Yes.
Squawkers, I don't know. Lucas. Starers.
Please don't go from so high up to creating words down here.
Death.
Close. Very close.
Kill.
Close. You're still close. In that area.
Decapitate.
No.
Kill.
You got three tries. A murder.
Death. Oh, murder.
You were so close.
Oh, okay.
Okay. The last one. Which is the only body part that is fully grown from birth?
Your skin. I don't know.
Only, two more tries.
Only body part that's fully grown
from birth.
Your eyes.
Yes!
I did life science. I did life science.
Oh my gosh. I just came hands for mommy.
I did life science. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Thank you very much.
I wouldn't have known that too. You better not give me these questions next week because I'm going to look so dumb.
No, I'm going to give you these questions. This game will play again next week. Thank you very much.
I don't want. Oh, that was so cool. You're so smart.
Thank you. Thank you so much, co-host. Thank you so much, fellow co-host. Thank you.
It's so fine.
Okay, let's get into it. Okay. This question is...
Before we go into the long topic, okay. Do you think you're intimidating? I think you're intimidating, but do you think you're intimidating?
100%. I know I'm intimidating. I'm assertive.
Yeah, I'm thinking about it now. Like, you're smart. You're beautiful. Like,
confident, assertive. I speak with authority.
You're educated. Like, oh my goodness.
I'm 100% intimidating.
I would hate to be a man in your presence anyway.
Amen. Maybe that's like, I can't keep a man. I nearly said okay. No, but guys, though, I'm not like that in a relationship. In a relationship, I'm very soft.
Why you gotta take it there? Like, yo, oh my God, that was so out of pocket for you to say. Editor, please don't make that a snippet, otherwise we're in trouble again.
Yeah, that's true. Okay, the long topic is, drum roll please. The importance of a healthy self-image.
Yes.
It goes so well in line with what we're talking about.
Yes, that's womanhood. Why I was so excited when you mentioned identity, because I was like, oh, this is tying into our long topic. Great.
Okay. Now I'm asking you, what self-image do you have? Like, what image do you have of yourself? When you look at yourself in the mirror, who you see? Who do you see?
Bro, like, this is such a hectic conversation for me, because I used to think that I thought highly of myself until I analyzed my behavior and I realized that somebody who thinks highly of themselves doesn't accept that nonsense. Exactly.
Someone did say that the men you are with reflect what you think of yourself.
My guy. So this conversation for me is so hectic because I've had to kind of rethink what I think about myself and whether or not the way that I live is a reflection of what I think about myself.
Yes.
And that was such a hard thing to do, because for many years I viewed myself as above certain things, right? Mm. Like I would never behave in this manner. I would never do this. I'd never say that. I'd never be in that place with these people, right? Until I found myself doing those things and being that kind of person. And it threw me off, because now I've had to revisit my entire identity. Are you who you say you are? Because you can say you're this kind of person, but living it is a whole different story. Because I thought one of the characteristics that I thought made up my image was restraint.
Mm.
I thought I was a very self-restrained person. Mm. And I thought I had a good amount of self-control, which has been tested in the past few months.
Like,
and I realized that I ain't got as much as I should.
You don't.
Oh my God. What makes up your self-image at the moment?
When I look at myself in the mirror, I think, number one, child of God.
Absolutely.
And I feel like that alone goes into who I'm trying to become. So when I look at myself, I need to see the light of the world.
Mm-hmm.
I need to see a disciple. I need to see a sheep and who has her shepherd.
Yeah.
And I feel like once I see that, people will see that, you know? And, like, that's what I'm trying to build my self-image on. Like, you know, just trying to have a healthy self-image based on that.
Yeah.
Because I feel like insecurities and thinking negatively of yourself and all those things come from trying to meet the world's expectations of who you are. And one thing I've learned and I've realized about God is He loves me from the top of my head
to the soles of your feet.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
So, like, you know, having, like, if that's who I base my self-image of, it's going to be good.
Yeah.
Because when, like, if I'm, because, like, your self-image is based, I think it translates to who you want to love you. You know?
Give that some flesh. What? That's such a powerful statement. Give that some flesh. Yeah.
So if you want a man of the world to love you,
uh-huh,
your self-image will be very negative. Because one thing, a woman of God cannot compete with the woman of the world. Because there's certain things that they will do, that they're willing to do, that you will not be willing to do and you can't do because of, like, your conscience. And then therefore you will never meet that expectation, and you'll think that you're not enough, and you'll think that you can't, and you think that you look a certain way, and rah, rah, rah. And then if you genuinely want the world to accept you, your self-image will be so negative.
Yeah, and it will subscribe to the world's identity or the world's standard.
Exactly.
Of who you should be.
And you will never meet that standard. Ever, because the world's standards, yes, they're ever-changing.
Yeah.
Every 2 minutes. 1 minute, the mafia girl look was a trend. Next minute, your soft girl, clean girl look. Next minute is this.
Unapproachable.
Next minute is that. Now you have, like, people like the Kardashians who once had BBLs. Now everybody's skinny.
Yeah.
Like, you know, it's very toxic to live like that, you know. So I feel like right now I'm in a state of, how do I want God to see me? You know, how does God see me?
How does He see you?
How does God see me?
Yeah.
And that, I think, has built so much confidence in me. Like, I used to be so insecure. We've discussed this on body dysmorphia and everything like that. Like, I've suffered from insecurities like any other girl, any other guy, my whole life. And now I'm 100% happy with who I am from the top of my head to the soles of my feet. Because who I want to accept me is not the world anymore. So that's where I'm at.
Crazy business.
That is 100%.
That's such a beautiful place to be. That's such a positive place to be. It's a cause for reflection, I think, for every one of us to kind of rethink, by whose standards have you created your image?
Yes.
Have you created your image by the standards of the world, or have you created your image by the standards of God? I think also, when you have a positive self-image, when you care about yourself and you care about how you show up in the world, there's certain things you wouldn't tolerate. You know, there's certain ways that people may address you that you won't even let them get away with. I think a lot of us find ourselves in positions where we are mistreated, we are mishandled,
looked down upon
because we allow it. A lot of what happens to us, especially in terms of our interpersonal relationships are things that we allow.
And
for me, even just having a look at, last week I was telling you that I was dealing with like betrayal and not having to take things into my own hands. I also had to sit with myself, like, how did I let it get that far for me to stay in a position where I was not valued for over a year? That says a lot about myself, how much I value myself. Because if I thought as highly of myself as I assumed I did, I wouldn't have stayed in there for that long. How you view yourself determines what you tolerate, determines how you live.
Yes, and honestly, you can see someone who has a positive self-image of themselves by how they speak, how they hold themselves, how they think,
how they treat others.
Like, there's certain people who walk into the room and consume it, like, with so much light and so much, like, they shine so bright, and it just comes from, like, loving yourself, you know, and like having confidence. Like, you know, the inability to speak, to be able to go and be a public speaker, the inability to be able to address people, to speak with confidence, to radiate light comes from you having a negative self-image of yourself. You are so shy. There's nothing cute about shyness.
Yeah,
because you need to be confident in who you are, because you're a child of God.
What do you think are some of the characteristics of somebody who has a low or a bad self-image?
As I say,
or a negative self-image.
Being shy.
Yeah.
When you being shy, anxiety, like this thing of like this inability to like address your opinion.
Yeah. And also stand behind your opinion.
And
as
stand
well.
Behind your opinion. The inability, jealousy. Jealousy.
I was actually
going
to go in that direction.
Yeah, jealousy as well means that you have a negative self-image.
Yeah.
Feeling less than means you have a negative self-image. If you ever have a thought that this person thinks that they're better than me, it means that you have a negative self-image.
You're reading in my mind.
Like, literally, because why do you feel less than in the presence of someone else?
Absolutely.
Why does someone else's achievements, someone else's confidence, someone else's self-assurance, what does that make you feel less than?
Absolutely.
It means that you have a negative self-image. There's no one who's supposed to be able to dim your light.
Absolutely. I think also being judgmental. Yeah, if you nitpick at people or you judge them for the way that they behave, that for me is a reflection of a negative self-image.
Like,
because somebody who thinks highly of themselves extends that grace, thinks highly of other people as well. And the moment that you begin to say things like, oh, she thinks she's better than other people, or she thinks she's so smart, it's a reflection of you not thinking you're good enough, or you not thinking you're smart enough.
Because, like, I noticed, like people will nitpick the dumbest things and think that they are... I don't know, and think that they're somebody, like, in a sense, you know, like someone who's nitpick the English, like English, guys, a language that is foreign to everybody in Africa, literally, and then they'll make jokes like, oh my God, like people walk around with red pens. If you ever walk around with a red pen and you're crossing and you're ticking everything someone says, how someone looks, what they do, it means that you are so absorbed in someone else's because you do not like to look within. You do not like the person within. You can't check yourself. You can't correct yourself. You can't red pen yourself. Because if you're able to do that, then you realize that you're an imperfect being.
Absolutely.
And therefore, you cannot go around expecting perfection from others.
Have you ever had a negative self-image?
100%.
When was that?
I mean, a negative self-image all my life. Yeah. Literally. Like, you know, and
that was external or internal? As it pertains to your looks or as it pertains to the person you are inside?
I think both.
Really?
Yes. Like, my looks and who I was inside. Like, it took me having an amazing teacher in high school. Guys, please, if you want to be a teacher, love people. Love people, you know. So it took from me having like an amazing teacher, Miss Ratswana, in high school, for my self-image to completely change. Because I remember, like, because of like the bullying I'd endured, the negativity I endured. I don't want to lie to you. I've always been a very intelligent person. That's one thing I know about myself, and I thank God for. I thank God because wisdom is a gift.
Why weren't you telling me my band was falling?
Girl, I don't see these things until like I look at your face and I see beauty, and then I don't see anything else.
Don't touch me.
Okay, fine. Fine. Guys, excuse Kaya in her bun.
She did this 2 episodes ago, and now she's doing it again.
I'm sorry, girl.
Don't talk to me. We beefing. I'm joking. Continue.
It's fine.
Ha!
It's fine.
Imagine the episode would have ended with the bun falling. Hey, she has Avonpo and Mhlabeni.
I think if it went down, I would have noticed.
No. There's no excuse. Continue. Yes.
Fine.
Your teacher.
So, like, because, like, I remember, like, I used to be, like, scared to answer in class.
Mm-hmm.
And scared to speak up and all those things. And it stemmed from when I would answer, it was like, oh, here she goes again. You're not doing it right. You're leaving some hair.
Oh, thank you. Oh, now you can see.
Because now I'm looking.
Now you can see.
Now I'm looking.
Okay.
So, like I used to be afraid to, like, answer in class. I used to be afraid to, like, speak up in class and all those things. It's because people have comments of, like, oh, here she goes again. You know, like, oh, my God. Ugh. And I remember this one time. They reacted in that manner in front of this teacher.
Mm-hmm.
And she literally stopped the lesson. And she's like, if you have an answer, you can simply raise up your hand and raise your answer. And then she made an example of, she's like, tabula rasa, empty vessels make the loudest noise. And the reason why you guys are making so much noise, come, let me fix it. The reason why you guys are making so much noise and acting in the manner. Okay, I don't think they can hear me. I'm away from
the mic.
I tried, guys. I tried.
It's good enough.
Okay. So yeah, she was like, because of like the way you guys are acting, shows that it has nothing to do with Mpo.
Yeah.
It has everything to do with you know. Ooh. And she pulled
that must have stung.
Yeah, it did sting. And she pulled me aside and she literally had this conversation with me, and she's like, don't be afraid to shine bright, don't be afraid to be yourself, you know. Don't be afraid to
beautiful,
don't be afraid to do that because of other people's inadequacy, feelings of inadequacy, you know. Don't feel sorry for someone and dim yourself down so that they can feel better about themselves. It's their job to work on themselves and feel better about themselves. And yeah,
that's
then
so beautiful.
That's when my self-image changed. What about you?
That's so beautiful. Because I think we should... I want to go back to my high school. I just need to get the car that I want first. Then I can pull up on him in high school and I'll be like, hey,
what's up?
But I really also want to go back to my high school and give my teachers flowers because they were phenomenal.
Mm.
Yo, I thank God for teachers like that. Puberty was hectic for me. Mm. Puberty was so hectic because I have acne-prone skin. So when I turned 13, my skin,
where's the acne now? Where is it?
It's not a foot right now.
Okay. Bye. But like, where is
I am breaking out right now because I had too much milk. Anyway, not the point. See, now I lost my... I didn't lose my chain, but I'm lying. I had acne, really bad acne. On top of that, my body didn't develop as quickly as everybody else. Mm. So I've had small boobs all my life, but I didn't have like boobs, bra-wearing boobs until I was like in 11th grade, 11th or 12th grade. And I didn't have hips until later on. So physically, my self-image was poor, like very poor in the beginning of high school. So much so that I began to dress a certain way just to cover up as much as possible. Tomboyish. Because if you dress tomboyish, the point is not your boobs. Yes. If you don't wear a dress, the point is not your bum, you know, or your curves. So the point was the swag. And I quite nailed the swag. So
100%. This girl has always had style forever and always.
You know what I'm saying?
Forever.
So physically, when did that change? When did my negative self-image, my physical self-image change? I think in 11th grade. I switched schools. And I always say that I didn't know I was attractive until I was like 16, 17 years old.
Mm.
Right? Until I was in grade 11. Because when I swapped schools, like week one, a friend of mine from church who also went to the same school, but we didn't hang out quite a lot. She came to me and she says, yo, this is before after school. My first week at the school, she comes to me, she's like, yo, there's this group of girls that wants to beat you up. Like, hey, yo, I just got here. What do you mean you want to beat me up? She's like, hey, it's because, you know, their boyfriends want you. And now they want to feed you. How the, what a confidence booster.
What a confidence booster. What?
And the thing is, like, I was a fighter, so I was ready to take all of them.
You're like, come on.
I'm like, come.
What, you've given me my flowers. Yo, tulips.
That for me opened my eyes. I was like, hey, a group, and they were in matric. I was like, a group of girls want to beat me up because their boyfriends want me. Hey, what I look like? Like, am I fine? And that kind of... Funny enough that negativity on their side translated into my eyes being open about myself. I began to see, oh, hold on, I'm actually quite beautiful.
Because why are you so intimidated?
I was like, why are they so intimidated? And that forced me to, I developed like this petty mentality to make them even more upset. So I excelled in my academics. I used to do like the best hair. Like, nobody can tell you in high school that I didn't have good hair. Like, I had such good hair. I pulled up to school looking scrumptious every day. Worse off, like, there was this time where we were allowed to wear casual and I wore this dress. And that was actually one of the first times that I saw my body actually come together. And I was like, oh, all I needed was time.
Yeah.
All I needed was time. And when I got that time to glow up, I did a real thing.
You glow up.
I did a real
thing. Went.
Have I ever had a negative self-image about who I was internally? No.
Yes, when? Yes. I love it for you. I love it for you. I love it.
I think I've always been confident.
Love in it who to I
was.
For you,
and how I looked was a whole different situation.
Love it to bits for you. And then, okay, what advice would you give someone who has a negative self-image? Like, what? Like,
sit with yourself, bro. Like, that will always be my first piece of advice. Sit with yourself. You know, break yourself down, like, into the different characteristics that you have and the different behaviors that you have, like, address yourself, confront yourself. That's the word I was looking for. Confront yourself. I think in the degree that we did last week, but we only did it in terms of like toxic traits.
Yes.
If you have a negative self-image and you can see that your life is a reflection of that negative self-image, seclude yourself and rethink it. Seclude yourself and do it. Start from the beginning. Say, this is who I am, this is who I want to be, and this is how I'm going to bridge the gap.
Yes. Okay, guys, so that is the end of today's topic for everybody.
For the normal subscribers.
For the normal subscribers, we love y'all still. But, like, I would advise and I would encourage you guys to subscribe to channel memberships. The description is literally down below, and that is where we will continue this episode.
And you know your cues. Don't forget to like, comment, share, subscribe, turn on your post notifications, and we'll see you guys next week, Monday, 3 p.m. Babe.
Bye.